The study today is entitled The Enemies of the Cross, and we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3 in verses 15 through 19. So I'd encourage you to get your Bibles out and follow along. 11. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way in our study today. Father, we pray if there's a saint of God out there that needs to be encouraged, to be lifted up, Lord, we pray that your word would do that. If there's someone that needs to be admonished or rebuked, Lord, we pray that your word would work in that way also, as we know that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, amen. It's quick, it's powerful, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd loosen my lips, allow the Holy Spirit to walk through me to bless someone today. Father, if there be someone that's lost, that's never trusted your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, we pray this would be the very day that they would fall out with their sins and get right with you, Lord, because to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive life eternal. Now, we commit these things into thy hands, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty then, Philippians chapter number 3. And we want to begin in verse 15. The Bible says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Now, when a Christian thinks about who would be characterized as an enemy of the cross of Christ, he probably thinks about one of the religious cults, does he not? For example, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Christian Scientists, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Roman Catholics, and the Church of Christ. Christians would never believe that other Christians could be enemies of the cross. However, I believe this is who the Apostle Paul is describing here in our passage. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. In verse 16, Paul sets down the rule on how believers are to walk on this earth. Paul says, "Let us walk by the same rule." In other words, there are not different rules for believers to walk by. If that was the case, it would be very difficult for a local church to be in unity and harmony of one spirit, would it not? It would bring confusion, and we know that the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. And if God is not the author of confusion, then who is? It has to be none other than the devil. Paul continues in verse 16 and gives the believer one simple rule to guide his walk with the Lord. Paul says this, "Let us mind the same thing." To mind the same thing, Christians have to be of the same mind or one mind. All through the New Testament, the believer exhorted to be of the same mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." In that verse alone, Paul uses the word same 3 times, amen. In other words, Christians are to be on the same page, amen, not on different pages, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Be ye of one mind." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul writes to the believers at Ephesus, "Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul tells the Philippians that their testimony should be regardless if he is absent or present. Ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. So Paul said, regardless of I'm there with you in person, or if I'm not there, I'm absent from you, your testimony should remain the same. Stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together by the faith of the gospel. This is what the believer's testimony always should be, striving together with other believers, amen, for the faith of the gospel. Not striving against one another for the destruction of the faith of the gospel. The Apostle Peter told believers, finally, be ye all of one mind. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. So we see the rule of mind the same thing is very important because of the emphasis the Word of God places on it. Christians are capable of and have the power to mind the same thing because the Word of God tells us that as believers that we have the mind of Christ. Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is talking about the spiritual mind and not the carnal or the fleshly mind. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul is telling the brethren to follow him. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. But we know that when Paul said this, that he meant follow me as I follow Christ. Paul goes on to say, mark them which walk. In other words, Paul is saying identify or point out. Paul continues and says, so as ye have us for an ensample. Paul is saying, use us as an example or standard to go by. And we have to remember that at the time, the canon of Scripture had not been completed. To mark other professing believers' walk. Why would the Philippians believers want to do this? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul says, there are those that I have spoken to you about before, often, not just occasionally. So these folks that Paul and the Philippian believers were very familiar with, possibly before these other folks appeared to be right with God, serving the Lord, amen. But in reality, they were just playing a game. They were just a bunch of carnal believers into the things of the flesh. This is indicated by Paul, what Paul had to say there in verse 18 of Philippians 3. And now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Obviously, Paul is heartbroken. Is because he gives the news to the Philippians weeping. Tears were coming down his eyes, streaming down his face, amen. And Paul is in prison when he writes this epistle. This is one of the prison epistles of Paul, amen. So probably he experienced firsthand how these folks, who by all outward appearances seemed to be serving the Lord and were not, they were still saved, but at best just carnal or fleshly Christians. Possibly some of these folks were responsible for Paul's imprisonment. Paul spoke of certain ones who had become enemies of the cross. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul says, as he writes to Timothy, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul continues as he writes to Timothy, and he says, Alexander the coopersmith did me much evil. In our lesson on the pastor's study, we want to look at the qualifications of Christians who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul gives us their qualifications in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. So number one of the qualifications of the enemy of the cross of Christ is whose end is destruction. We know according to the scriptures that the Christian in the current age of grace or church age, in which the Apostle Paul also was in, cannot lose their salvation. So the destruction spoken about here does not have to do with salvation. But as Christians, there are other things which can be destroyed by a carnal, worldly walk. For example, our fellowship with the Lord and brethren as a result of sin can be damaged, can be destroyed. If you want to see a biblical example of this, all we have to do is look at that bunch at Corinth. And notice what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. He said, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Notice in verse 30, Paul says, many sleep. The Lord took saints home early because they made a mockery of the Lord's Supper. These believers did not examine themselves like the Word of God says to do. My dear friend, it is of the uttermost importance to confess your sins and get right with God before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because if you are not right with God and partake of the communion table and do it consistently, then the Lord just might take you home early. Amen. And then we have an account in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 13. And Paul is dealing here, amen, with the Corinthians over an issue of a man committing fornication with his father's wife, his stepmother, amen. And they were kind of puffed up about it. They were allowing this sin to continue on in the church. In verse 5, Paul tells the church at Corinth to turn that individual over to Satan. Look at in verse 5, it says, Paul says, unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Destruction of the flesh. In other words, physical death. Amen. This man is still saved, if he's a Christian, amen. But he's saying, turn him over, because he will not stop his sinning and get right with God. Turn him over. Turn his flesh over to the destruction of Satan. Now the Lord may take this individual home if that person continued in his sin. And Paul was rebuking the church at Corinth for not taking a stand against the man who was committing fornication with his father's wife. Verse 2 tells us they were puffed up about it. Amen? They were puffed up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, "Are ye puffed up and have not rather mourned? And he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." He says, you're puffed up about it. You're kind of prideful about it. Instead of mourning and weeping over that there is sin among you and doing something about it according to the word of God, you're prideful about it. And what Paul says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 5, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was saying that individual's body is no longer under subjection to the Holy Spirit. That individual is totally walking in the flesh. Their body is now the possession of Satan. However, the spirit is still saved. Spirit can't become unborn again, amen, for that. Paul goes on with his rebuke and tells them that not only will the individuals involved in this sin reap destruction, but the whole church as well, if they allow this to go on in the church. So Christian churches who are involved in sins of this nature are headed for destruction. In fact, the Lord may just take them home early. In other words, my dear friend, these folks, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So number one, a qualification of the enemies of the cross is whose end is destruction. Whose end is destruction. The second qualification we want to see of someone that's an enemy of the cross is whose God is their belly. In other words, these folks are into satisfying the flesh. In Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, Paul writes to the believers at Rome and says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Notice Paul says, mark them. Mark them. Mark the enemies of the cross. The enemies of the cross cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and Paul says, and avoid them. Avoid them. Have nothing to do with them. Separate from them. Why? Because they are causing divisions and offenses. This is the same as sowing discord among the brethren, which according to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, the Lord hates and considers an abomination. Amen? That's why Paul so strongly puts it, avoid them. Again, this ties into Philippians 3:16, where Paul says, let us walk by the same rule, which would be in Romans 16:17, the doctrine which ye have learned. These folks who are enemies of the cross are not walking by the same rule, but by their own set of rules. Paul continues in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, and says, let us mind the same thing. Again, these folks to avoid, in Romans 16:17, cause divisions and offenses. Therefore, they do not mind the same thing, but their own thing, which is contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned of the word of God. Now, contrary means being so different as to be at opposite extremes, opposite, inclined to resist authority and control. These folks do the opposite to what the Word of God says to do. And we live right now in an age which is very rebellious. People are being taught at an early age the spirit of rebelliousness, to resist, to question and overthrow authority. We witness this firsthand by the attack on the Word of God, which should be man's only final authority. Amen. It wasn't an issue 100 years ago. What book, which Bible was the Word of God? It was the AV 1611 then. No one questioned it, and it still is, but now it's under attack. Amen. We see the spirit of contrary being displayed in our local New Testament churches, amen. In Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." This is talking about the relationship between the pastor and his people, amen. And what is happening in many of our New Testament Bible-believing churches today is that the man of God, the pastor's authority, which is ordained by God, is being questioned and attacked by openly and in secret by members of the church, amen. This is manifested when the pastor makes a decision about something and it's questioned. Or when the pastor is trying to guide and direct and help one of the members to grow, amen. His attempts are questioned and rebuked, you know, and people have the attitude, "Well, pastor, you're picking on me." Or if one member shares with another member something the pastor has shared with them with a questioning attitude or contrary attitude. The Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Amen. If a pastor is not right with God, God will deal with that man. Let me tell you. The two key words is obey. In other words, be in agreement to follow the command or guidance, not disagree or go against. The other word, submit. Yield to his authority, not rebel or question. If you are not doing what Hebrews 13:7 says to do, then you are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have word. In other words, my dear friend, then you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. What motivates people to cause divisions and offenses? Let's look at Romans 16:18 for a moment. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fierce speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." These folks are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but they are self-serving. They are serving their own belly. They want the glory. They want the accolades. They want to fulfill the desires of the flesh. They are walking in the flesh and not the Spirit. According to Galatians 5:19, what they're doing, if you look at their lives, they are manifesting the works of the flesh. Notice in Romans 16:18 how these folks accomplished their goal by good words and fair speeches. They are the folks whose lips say one thing and their mind is thinking something else. These are the folks who seem so lovey-dovey. You know, the ones that are super spiritual and super critical, amen. They seem always overly concerned about your problem. They say that they want you to be your best buddy, etc. Beware. The Bible says if you fall for these good words and fair speeches, then you are simple. Romans 16:18 says, "By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Simple means the person possesses very little wisdom and spiritual discernment. You see, this often happens when newly saved folks come into a church and one of the so-called mature Christians go over and start playing their games with them, amen, getting the babe in Christ to follow him and come to him instead of the pastor. These folks are self-serving, not God-serving, because their God is their belly. So we have seen so far a Christian can qualify as the enemy of the cross of Christ if, number one, their end is destruction, number two, their God is their belly, and finally, number three, if their glory is in their shame. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, "Whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." These folks get their glory from their shame. In other words, what brings shame or disgrace to a Christian is sin. We saw earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that the church at Corinth was puffed up. They were prideful. They thought it was great to have fornication among them. They did not mourn about the open sin in their church. In fact, Paul told them straight out about their attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Your glorying is not good." Unfortunately, in many so-called Bible-believing churches, they are glorying in their shame. They think it is great that they openly tolerate sin. For example, folks living together, married folks committing adultery, having sex perverts serving in as members of their church. Their favorite verses are, "A friend loveth at all times," or "Speak the truth in love." Their favorite chapter in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But the Bible says these folks are the enemies of the cross because whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Notice again that word mind. Remember Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 16, "Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." We know that when Paul said, "Let us mind the same thing was not referring to earthly things, but heavenly or spiritual things. The rule found in the Word of God is the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world or a higher education, amen. Christian, are you glorying in your shame? Are you involved in some sin and you're not ashamed of it? You have not made it your priority to get right with God, then the Bible says, my dear friend, that you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. Christian, do you glory in the fact that you like to gossip? Christian, do you glory in the fact that you question and challenge the pastor's authority? Christian, do you glory in the fact that you do not tithe, do not read your Bible, are not in church when the doors are open? Christian, do you mind earthly things? Money, TV, the lottery, the job, the VCR, the computer, sex, drugs, pornography, music, etc. Then, my dear friend, you're an enemy of the cross because you glory in your shame or your sin. You are minding earthly things and not heavenly things. Christian, are your affections set on the things above or on the things of the earth? Christian, I do not want to scare you, but I have to preach the whole counsel of God. We saw when we started out that Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 said, if you are an enemy of the cross, then your end is destruction. The Lord will deal with you so long, but if you do not cease and resist, then he may take you home early. Whose end is destruction. Won't you get right with God and restore the glorious fellowship and joy of your salvation? Come today, right now, and claim the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.